So part 32, last time we were talking about some of these PowerPoints, if I can just put them out again. Faith works when you work it. Faith works when you work it. That's pretty simple, elementary, but most people think that faith is something, you know, that God's going to just do it through you without you working it. It doesn't work that way, not to make a little light of that, but it doesn't work that way. You've got to work faith. You've got to work what God gave you. And again, most people, when they hear preachers talk about faith and things God has done for them, they want to jump out and get the seven-tier cake. Well, you got to start out at Dunkin' Donuts. Come on, somebody, get you a little Krispy Kreme donut and faith. And I think the greatest way to learn faith is to give. When you learn how to tithe, you learn how to give offerings, that builds your faith. Because there's one thing common, is this okay? Because this is one thing common between all of us that we struggle with, and that's finances. Thank you, Jesus. Is that right? We all do. And once we learn how to be givers, we become greater believers and we become greater people of faith. So don't get panicky. I'm not taking up an offering. What I'm saying is that's how I learned to walk in faith, was to learn how to let go what's in my hands and then open my other hand and learn how to receive what's in God's hands, because his hands are bigger than mine. And once I learned that principle, then faith and obedience and works began to come together. Have I arrived? No, I haven't arrived, but I understand the principle of sowing and reaping. And faith and sowing and reaping, they go together. I don't know why I'm going this way, but many times in churches, we compartmentalize things and say, in this category, I have this category of teaching, then I do this, and then I have this category in formula, and I do this. And then when it comes to praise and worship, I do. God doesn't want you to live that way in categories and in dividers. He wants you to live a faith-filled life. When I worship by faith. When I praise by faith. When I give by faith. When I wake up in the morning, I'm definitely living by faith. You know, I just one step in front of the other by faith in Jesus' name, I'm going to make it. You know, so we have to learn how to do that. And I think when you do that, then you finally have reached a point where you understand it's relationship and not mechanical irrigation or mechanical worship or mechanical anything. It's just a flow. Okay, that was a long start to the teaching. But anyways, faith is transforming. It will change your natural into supernatural. Let's read that again. Faith is transforming. Yes, it is. It will change your natural into supernatural. I'll go there again with giving. When you learn how to give, you open up something in your heart. You open up a channel too between you and God, heaven and earth. And it takes what's natural to you and makes it supernatural. Then all of a sudden, you know, you're giving 10% and the Lord gives back to you, you know, we're just throwing these things out, 50%, 100% or whatever. All of a sudden, there becomes a flow in your life. And I'm just using finances as an example. It could be anything. It could be his presence. It could be answered prayer. And so when we learn how to sow, then we can reap. Okay, and so God will just start touching your natural. And then all of a sudden, it's like, wow, where did that come from? The Lord blessed me. The Lord provided for me. The Lord made a way, even if it's something small. Do you see what I'm saying? So faith does that. All right, faith is the greatest gift given to man. Faith is the greatest gift given to man, because remember, you can't get saved without faith. Without it, man cannot live and operate in kingdom power. So I'm real heavy on this. If I'm going to be in this, you have a choice. You can either be in the church or you can be in the kingdom. Or you can be the church and live in the kingdom. I don't go to a church. I go to a kingdom meeting. I go to a kingdom meeting. I go to a kingdom assembly. I get together with other saints and warriors who are, we're talking about the king and his kingdom. And we're working together to better the kingdom. And how we do that is we affect our nation. We affect our state. We affect our community. But in essence, we're walking in kingdom principles. Okay, we have to recognize and realize that. I understand I'm a church as far as I'm part of the body, and I understand I go into a building that's called a church, but ultimately, I'm operating in kingdom principles. So if I think that way, then I won't think about the light bill. I won't think about the natural things to where they become debilitating to me. they just become part of the necessities of a natural life. That's just the way it is. But my kingdom principle and mindset in life supersedes what I see in the natural. So I'm not worried about it. I still got to work it. Don't get me wrong. I can't sit in a corner and just, you know, with some incense and hum a little bit, and it's all going to come to me. If that works for you, well, I mean, you know, your faith is great. But we still have to work. Does that make any sense? So it's the greatest gift given to man. We have to use it to live and move in his kingdom. So we're going to talk now. Let's go back just a little bit more on 32, and then we'll get into tonight's teaching. We talked about, go to Hebrews chapter 11. Again, Joshua, if you would. We're going to go from 32 down to 40. I hope I can finish chapter 11 tonight. Do the best that I can. And what more shall we say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and of Samson. Okay, go to the next one. So he talks about the prophets and all these. Now what happened? Who subdued, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, and stopped the mouths of lions. So we go back in our notes real quick, and we talked about that. Joshua chapter 12, 2 Samuel chapter 8, how that kingdoms were subdued. You got to remember this. These were people that were really nothing. They were nothing. And then they became like the dust, if you will, of the earth. They became like the sands of the sea and the stars of the sky. They became who they were, we're talking about Israel, by what? Faith. Through the father of faith, Abram, who became Abraham, through a covenant. It was a faith agreement. And so we saw that there. Then they worked righteousness. Genesis chapter 15, verse 6 is talking about Abraham. He did what God wanted him to do, and then it became to him righteousness or right standing with God. I think if we'd ever comprehend what righteousness really means, it would blow us away, and we would change our Christian attitude. Number one, righteousness doesn't mean that I'm better than you. I'm not better than you. If I see if there's a bum or a drug addict or whatever, I'm not better than him. I'm just in right standing with God, and he's not. God wants him in right standing with him. That's what he gave Jesus to the cross and the blood. That's what he gave his life for, so that he would become righteous. My righteousness is what? Filthy rags, and so is yours. But whenever I am in relationship and covenant with God, walking by faith, then I'm in right standing with him. Again, I don't know how to compare this to, if you had a rich uncle that was a king or a president or somebody that was real famous, you'd feel pretty big when you walked around. Hey, that's Uncle Mark right there. Yeah. You know, wouldn't you? I mean, I would if I had somebody in my family that was famous or whatever. You know, as Christians, when we become in right standing with God, that's what it is. We're with God of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. We're walking with him. I'm not better than you, but I just know where I'm standing, and I'm standing in a better place than you. But I know where I came from, so I can't forget that. So in faith, if I know this is true, then when I walk through my life, no matter if it's a battle, if I get knocked down, if I stumble, whatever I'm going through, I know I'm in right standing with God and I have become righteous with him. Yes, it does include forgiveness and sanctification and consecration, all those different things. I get that holiness. I understand that. But it's also, look, without holiness, no man can what? See God. So that holiness gives me that ability to walk in righteousness. I thought I'd throw that in there and expound on it a little more, if that's okay. So the obtained promises, Numbers 14:30. Stop the mouths of lions, Daniel chapter 6. I love that, man. Stop the mouths of lions. How many of y'all have some lions nipping at you that you need to shut their pie hole? Well, do it by faith. Do it by faith. And notice this, Daniel didn't stop him by looking down into the pit. Daniel had to get in the pit. Oh, about to preach now. Daniel had to get in it. See, Christianity today, modern Christianity wants to, oh, those are bad problems down there. God, take care of that. When God's like, jump in there and we'll handle it together, boy. Girl, you can do this thing. Cowboy up. You can make it happen. But we don't want to do that, you know. We just don't want to do that. Okay, and then he quenched fire. He quenched the fire. Faith did that, right? Daniel chapter 3. Where did they quench the fire? From Daniel's apartment? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Excuse me, Shadrach, Meshach. But no, what'd they do? They went into the fire. Went into the fire. They had to get to the fire in order to find the fourth man in the fire, which was Jesus. I'm telling you, there's so much. Again, we teach faith in the wrong way. We teach faith in a plastic banana type of way to where it's so synthetic. It's so counterfeit. It's so silly. You know, that we walk around robotic and everything's super spiritual and that we don't, you know, nothing's ever going to happen to us and we're going to live a perfect life. Ha, 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 ha. You know what I mean? As soon as you get saved, here comes Mike Tyson. I mean, you know, here comes all your enemies, Bruce Lee and anybody else who wants to chop you in half. I mean, your enemies come to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, life more abundantly. Well, how do you have that life? By faith. Through faith. And you got to get in the fight because it's a good fight of what? Faith. It's a good fight of faith. Okay. Escape the sword. 1 Samuel 17, Exodus 18, 4. And then they, verse 17, they were made strong. Hebrews 11, 11, Romans 4, 19. Who are we talking about? Abraham. They were made strong in their weakness and the deadness of Sarah's womb and in the age of Abraham. God gave them strength to what? To conceive, but what else? The process of it. The process to get to the conception and then from the conception to what? Birth. See, God will give you faith to have the seed, but he also gave you faith to carry it. Then he'll give you faith to give birth to it. And then by faith, he expects you to give it away. Doesn't that sound wild? But you can't outgive God. You can't outgive God. All right, so that's last time. So this is part 33. Let's see, where are we at? Go ahead, next verse, please. Quench the violence of fire, and I'll read this. Escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Wax valiant in fight. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. Y'all didn't believe in aliens, now you do. Talking about the enemy. The aliens. So they became valiant in battle. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 23. We're going to go verse 8 to 23 probably, but I just want to teach on this a little bit because they became valiant or they became strong. They became courageous. They became warriors in the battle. Notice that they became valiant when? In battle. You know, you don't become a five-star general when you just get off the truck for basic training. In fact, you don't get the Purple Heart sitting in an office and you cut yourself opening a letter in the military. You have to do what? You have to go to battle. You get a Purple Heart. You get a Bronze Star. You get all the Flying Cross. You get all these different things and different services of military for doing something. The names of the mighty men were which whom David had. Tegelmite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adeno of the Esnite. He lifted up the spear against, look at this. This is what I want you to see. Don't focus on just the names. He lifted up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. Please stop for a second and think about that. One guy, anointed of God by faith, kills 800 people at one time. Now I don't have that understanding. I no machine gun, no grenade, no nuke, no artillery, no dynamite, no C4, no plastic explosives, a sword. Did he use a sword? A spear. Same thing. Sword, spear, something sharp. This is amazing. And God puts that in there to the credit of what? Faith. That tells me God wants you to win overwhelmingly. Faith wants to conquer. Faith wants to have dominion. He wants you to win overwhelmingly in your life. Again, whatever it is, I don't expect you to go out and defeat 800 people. Please don't try that. But you can defeat 800 demons. I mean, you don't know what you're fighting every day. But the point is, life seems insurmountable. Because if you look at that story, that there's not even an action hero that I'm aware of that ever, even Chuck Norris didn't do that. Yeah, I mean, he could shoot one bullet and 10 people die, but come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. I'm not Mr. T probably couldn't do that. So even our own imaginations, this is an incredible thing. But what is the faith principle? The faith principle is this. It seems ridiculous and impossible, but with God, all things are possible. How? Through faith. Through faith. Now notice God, it didn't say anything that God took his hand and used the spear and made him do it. But I believe that God was on him and anointed him to do that because that's an incredible supernatural feat. So again, the principle for you and I is this, that doesn't matter how many enemies we have, how insurmountable it looks, our housing situation, our finances, our bills, health, whatever it is, we go back to the Word of God and we said, God, if you did it for them, you could do it for me. That's just a small natural thing you did. I'm needing something supernatural, Father, in my life. And watch, you do it by faith. All right? He'll do it. Next verse. Let's look at it one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of, ready, Flo, Dudu. Remember I told you there was a Dudu in the Bible? Ahohite. I remember that time I was preaching real hard back in an old little church over there, a little building. Sarah, you probably remember that. And I said something about old Bishop Dudu. And Flo, everybody looked at me like, what are you talking about? And then like the next day in the newspaper, there was some guy named Dudu. Bishop Dudu. He was a real bishop. I didn't know that. And then we found this. And I'm like, see, God has a sense of humor. Now somebody's going to write to me and say, no, it's a Dodo, Dodo. Well, it's do-do to me, okay? Do and do is do-do. A Hoite, one of the three mighty men, with the mighty men of David. You see, God's hilarious. He really is. I mean, he makes life very, very fun if we'll just let him, let him do it and enjoy him. Okay. When they defied the Philistines, they were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. So who is this? Three dudes. Is that what it says? He was one of the three dudes. The Israelites had already left, right? Am I reading the same thing you're reading? Next verse. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave into the sword. Do you know what it means? He has so much blood. If you know anything about blood, it coagulates, and it stuck. So he was, listen, man, he was whacking them. I don't know how else to say it. You got doo-doo on the other side, but he was whacking them, killing them. Boom, 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 boom. Now, again, I'm not advocating you do this, but notice this. He continued to battle by faith. Don't give up. This is the whole point right here. Don't give up. You just let that hand, that sword never leaves your hand. What's the sword? The Word of God. Never let that sword leave you. Cleave it. Let it cleave to you. Just keep whacking and going in life. You say, well, that sounds pretty violent. Well, what's the choice? The other choice is to roll over and play dead. Put your feet up in the air like a puppy and say, it's over. No, you're not going to do that. You're going to take that sword, and you're going to keep slaying. Well, Pastor, it's tough. Am I going to have to do this the rest of my life? Yeah, you will. You will have to fight, but enjoy the fight while you're going. I'm not trying to be sadistic but I'm sure this guy enjoyed what he was doing. He was a warrior. He was a paid killer. He was a soldier. He was probably going, man, I'm winning. Look at this. Yeah, Mom, can you see me now? You don't think that's, but you got to think like they think. They were warriors. And who were they going against? They were going against the ones that God hated as far as a nation, the Philistines, who were trying to destroy the Israelites and God's covenant and all these promises. Does that make any sense? Again, we can't take that into our natural life today and go out there and just start, walking around with guns and just keep it in our hand the whole time. Walk into the bank and I'm here for a withdrawal because that wouldn't be good, would it? But spiritually speaking, in my natural life as I'm walking, I have the sword of the Spirit. I'm just going to hold on to this thing. I'm not letting go, Flo. I don't care what they say. I don't care what's going on. I got the word. I got the word. I'm going to battle. You see that? And the Lord, who did it? The Lord, but I thought the sword was in his hand. It was in his hand, but his faith caused the victory. The Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. So put this back into your imagination. The whole army's retreated. Yeah, let's go back. Yeah, let's go get something to eat. And this guy's like, I'm going to finish this thing off. He leaves the army, goes over there, kills all these people, and then all the army comes back and says, all right, let's get the stuff. You see, it seems outnumbered. It seems impossible. It seems ridiculous. It seems incredible. This is part of the word for us this year in Ignited Church. We're going to see these type of things that it just doesn't make sense. This is it right here. These type of things. That doesn't make any sense. How's one man going to fight grown men and win without modern armor and modern weapons today? It's got to be by faith. It's got to be by faith, all right? So let's go on. We could really stay on this for a while, but next verse. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, peas, right? And the people fled from the Philistines. So here they are. They're about to fight over a garden. Here's the point. That was his garden. That was his peas. You got a garden? I got a garden. It's called my life. It's called my family. It's called my home. That's my peas. Don't touch my peas. You come into my garden, I'm going to whack you. Is anybody... No, I'm not, you know, lovingly. No, right? When the enemy comes in your home, he comes into your life, he comes in your family, he's trying to do what? Take your peas, your lentils, and he's violating it. And God cares about your peas. He does. He cares about every little aspect of your life. Peas seem insignificant, but they're not when they're yours, and they're not when they're God's. And God cares about you. So this is the application of faith. Let's see what happens here. All right, so the people are freaked out. The Philistines, here they are. And here's this guy's, his Shammah. Next verse. But he stood in the midst of the ground, and he defended it. And then he did what? He slew the Philistines. Come on, are you reading this with me too? You know, so many times listen, I believe in connectivity. I believe in family. I believe we're stronger together. I believe we can do more together. There's no doubt about it. We're the body of Christ. But, you know, sometimes I really feel that in the church we have a lot of codependency. Well, I need the pastor. I got to pull on his coat. I got to hold on to him. I got to hold on to Sister Spiritual or Sister Yeah, whatever. And we hold on to these people in our lives thinking that's how we win the battle. But it's not always that way. You do need people, no doubt about it. But there's times when you'll be just like this Shammah. You stand in the midst of the ground. You stand in the midst of your peas, and you say, these are my peas. These are my peas. What's that? Okay, didn't you put that in your book? It's coming in your next book. I know, because she loves this story about it, because she's always telling me, these are my peas. You know, and I'm like, that's true. And that's what a wife and a mama would do, right, when some enemy comes in. So he stood his ground, and look at it again. And he defended it. Notice he didn't say, God, you defend it. Oh, I'm going to hide in the corner and pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to cry. No, he got right in the middle of the ground. Again, the faith application for you and I is get in the battle. Those watching, listening, get in the battle. Get in the battle. Well, these are the end times. These are bad times. It's getting dark. And don't you know what's happening in California and what just happened in the UK? And Yeah, I know what's happening. But get in the battle. Because if you don't get into the battle is going to get on top of you and whip you. And this is a tremendous example. And God put it in Hebrews 11 to show us this faith principle and this victory that was wrought by him. What did it say here at the end? And the Lord wrought a what? Great victory, I would say so, over a garden of peas. Next verse. How much more over the souls of your family, your children? How much more? And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time into the cave of Adullam, and the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. All right, cave of Adullam. I'd love to preach to you about that. What a place to be. The place where the broken went to. And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. So he longed, he lusted, if you will, he desired to have a part of home, to drink from that place. Must have been some good water. And 30 men and the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines. Here's another feat of faith. What did they do? They broke through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but he poured it out unto the Lord. That's a whole other teaching about giving offerings unto the Lord and those type of things. But what did they do? They broke through the troop. Three wild guys heard the command of what? Their commander, their leader, their king, and they risked their lives to get this water. Application for you and I is, again, by faith. We do everything by faith. We hear what the commander wants. We hear the desire of God's heart, and then we go for it. This is the point and principle. We can't sit back with, as times get bad in life, prophecy, whatever it is, and sit back and not adhere to what the heart of God is. And the heart of God is this: go win the loss. Go get the harvest. But God, it's so dangerous. Go get the harvest. You look at Brother Oscar, for an example, doing the ministry in Nigeria. You know, he has a death warrant, if you will, over his life by some Muslims over there. But he's still going into the foreign fields, into the unreached people, and winning souls. Why? Because he hears the cry of God, the great commission to go. So by faith, he breaks through the troops and divides the spoil with God and brings in the harvest. So it's a powerful principle, and we have to apply this to our lives. Okay, so we'll talk about that drink offering some other time. But that was an incredible thing that they did. Next verse. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he did not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. Okay, so again, we're seeing this story. We're getting a summary of these great people, how they walked by faith. So next verse, I think they walked in great faith. So let's go on to the next one. Oh, right here. And he lifted up his spear, Ishbia. He lifted up his spear against the 300 and slew them and had the name among the three. This guy right here, the son of Zeruiah. Wow, the brother of Joab. Let's read that again. And he lifted up his spear against 300 and he slew them. You know, I've been married for 28 years and I still can't beat one woman. I mean, I lose every match. I lose every argument, right? This is amazing. Next verse. Was he not the most honorable of the three? Therefore, he was of their captain. Howbeit, he attained not unto the first three. All right, so there's some other incredible things going to happen. And Benaniah, the son of Jehudiah, the son of a valiant man of Kabazil, who had done many acts, he slew two lion-like men of Moab. Okay, we got to stop there for a second. Lion-like men of Moab. So they must have been hairy. They must have been fierce. They must have been, I don't even know a person we can probably describe today in our imaginations, but just picture, these must have been some burly, whatever kind of guys, strong guys, big guys. All right, what did he do? He slew these two lion-like men of Moab, and he went down also and slew a lion. Oh, I might as well kill a lion while I'm in there, in the midst of the pit in the time of snow. Okay, come on, wait a minute, folks. You know, I remember in my days before the Lord, you know, we would get a few refreshments going in our bodies, and we would tell stories, and they got bigger and longer and more lies as we went. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Alcohol makes you talk. You know, the fish goes from here to here. Almost sunk the boat. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But look at this. This is getting wild. And he slew two lion-like men, so he kills them. Ah, you're dead. And he went down and he saw a lion, so he kills the lion. Don't tell Peter. In a pit. So he got, that means he had to go in a pit. In a snowy day. Without any coveralls or anything that I know of. That's one thing for him to slay a lion with the lion coming at him. But he had to go into the pit. If he's in the pit, I'm leaving him in the pit. I'll be like, lion, I'm leaving. You know, I'm not going in a pit. Are y'all reading the same Bible I'm reading? These are credible people of faith. And it's not saying anything. Yeah, they're crazy too. They're not saying anything that, you know, he sat and he waited until the winds of the north blew upon his beard and he felt the shiverings of God. No. He was already a wild man. You'd have to be a wild man to be like that, don't you think? And God took his wildness and anointed it and used his faith and documented it so we could see it. Not that we can go out. Please, if you see a lion, run. They tell you if a bear chases, fall down. Now, I'm not falling down. Now, I'm going to trip the guy slower than me. You don't have to be the fastest. You just got to get out of the way. Yeah, you got to keep your feet, keep your balance. Just don't be the slowest. And the other thing is go with a pack of people because they can only eat one. You know, sorry, you should have practiced more sprints. But think about these stories. He's in a pit. It's snowing. I'm going to leave. If it's snowing, I'm going to the cabin. I'm going to be by a fire. I'm not going to go into that. So what happens? Faith, 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 faith. Faith is motivating these things. And again, it's funny. It's ridiculous. It's incredible. It almost seems unbelievable. If someone was telling me this story, would you believe that if somebody came and just said, yeah, dude, I just killed these two WWF UFC fighters. And I saw this lion and I killed him too. You're going to be like, you're a nut. You have lost your brains. 911, what's your emergency? Yeah, I got this freak over here. I don't know what's wrong. I think he's on heroin. You know, whatever. Right? But it happened. It happened. And we believe it by faith. We believe it by faith. It's an incredible act. Again, it shows the power of faith in an ordinary person. If you took away faith and the supernatural ability, those guys couldn't have done that. I believe they're strong. I believe they were part of mighty men. But come on, folks. Come on now. Let's get real. So it's an act of faith, and God used them. Next verse. I'm just glad I get to preach. I don't have to fight animals and big people and stuff. Just got to look at people. All right, next verse. There another verse? Yeah. And he slew an Egyptian. This is the same guy. He's a criminal. I mean, this guy's like, he's got, look, this is like a rap sheet. Right? You ever seen somebody's rap? I'll keep going. A goodly man, which means, you know, he was strong. He wasn't no Pee Wee Herman. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand. And he went down to him with a stick. It's a staff. Use your imagination. He's got a stick in his hand. This guy is an Egyptian. So let me tell you something about the Egyptians. They wore gold. They had eye paint. They sat on chariots and fine horses. Even their horses, even the camels of Moab, had gold chains as part of their bridle and bit. I mean, these people were high cotton. And here comes this guy with a stick. Hey! You know, he's got blood all over for whipping two dudes that look like a lion and beating up a lion in a snowy pit. And then he comes up to this dude. This is incredible, isn't it? But see, with God, all things are possible. I don't believe that's a bunch of junk story fairy tales. No, all things are possible with God. Again, we may not get this opportunity. I hope I never get this opportunity in the natural. But I guess if it happened, I could do it if God anointed me to do it. But the point is not that. The point is supernaturally. Are we facing the Egyptians in our life? Are we facing these lions? Are we facing these demons that are bigger than us, that are tearing our families apart, tearing our communities apart? Yes, we are facing those things. Well, how do we defeat them? Well, we don't use a stick. We don't use stones. We use the Word of God. So the application is perfect for today, or it wouldn't be in the New Testament, right? But he went down with his staff and he plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand. This is almost comical. I will kill you, pink. No, you're not. He knocks it out of his hand with a stick. Wow. And he plucked the spear out of the Egyptian's hand and then he slew him with his own spear. That was one of the greatest insults to ever happen in warfare and in any conflict, is to be killed with your own weapon. That was the most dishonorable thing you could do, was slay them. Remember, David did that, right? Yes, he killed Goliath with his own, finished him off with his own sword. Okay, so let's go on. This guy, wow, this guy is wild. That's the kind of guy I want in my church right there. Is there a problem, Pastor? Mm-hmm, that guy over there, go get him. These things did Benaniah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among the three mighty men. That's my vote. All right. And he was more honorable than the 30, but he obtained not to the first three, and David set him over his guard. Yeah, right. That's what I would do. He'd be my first deacon. All right. Next verse. Ashiel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30. Elhanan, the son of, here's another doo-doo, of Bethlehem. Wow, okay. And Shammah the Herodite, Elkah the Herodite, Elkah probably, Helza the Pelalite, Ira the son of Ikish the Tekoite. Come on, man. Let's keep going. And then verse 28. We'll just forget those two guys. And then we'll forget those guys there. They're all good. Larry, John, Bob, and Mike. And what was this? No, man. Oh, my gosh. That's enough. I'd end up getting a cramp on my tongue. All right. So you get the point. He put all those names up there. Because what? They're all people of faith. They're all people. They're warriors. So isn't that good? Going back to Hebrews chapter 11, we go back there, verse 34, I believe it was. So they became valiant in battle. I would say so, yeah. So you can find that 2 Samuel 23:8-23, 1 Samuel 14:13-15, and Judges 7. 1 Samuel 14:13-15, and Judges 7, if you want to read about that. Okay, and then they put the armies, the alien armies, to flight. What does that mean, alien armies? Not talking about spaceships and little green men and Mork and Mindy. It's talking about the alien foreign nations to the covenant of Christ, the covenant of God, I should say, the law. They were aliens. They were foreigners, okay? So let's look at that real quick, and we'll go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 51. We won't take too long on that. 1 Samuel. Yeah, 1 Samuel 17:51, I believe it is. And hopefully we don't have to use any names here. They turned the flight of the armies of the aliens. That's what we need to do. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistines and took his sword and he drew it out of the sheath thereof and he slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their captain was dead, they fled. So again, this is the story we've gone back over before with David, and about David, was that he slew the giant, and then the Philistines fled, and then they slew the Philistines. That's what, again, is in the faith chapter of chapter 11, Hebrews, that by faith they subdued these aliens. They defeated them. They put them to flight. What does that mean for you and I today? Again, I'm not chasing UFOs away and chasing little green men away. You would be if you understood what they are. They're supernatural entities, anyhow, a demon power. But what you are doing is you're putting to flight these alien armies that are evading your home, evading your life, evading your family. Bless you. I'm not dealing with it anymore. You don't belong here. Watch this. When something that doesn't belong in your life is granted the ability to stay, it will take over. It will take over. It just takes time, and if you don't root it out, you don't deal with it, it becomes part of your life, it becomes part of your family, part of your health, or what have you. You have to look at the enemy and that army and say, I had enough of you. You're done. Collectively, we can drive enemy out of our communities. I'm not saying we'd have utopia, Zion, Illinois. That's a whole teaching later on, and Billy Sunday and all. You know, there's a lot of people who tried to develop Christian communities in America that didn't really work. It lasted for a little while. So my dream is not utopia, or my mindset's not utopia. It's rooted in truth, and the truth is this. I may not change the entirety of my community, but I can change somebody in my community. I can have some relief. We can have some victories. We can have. Does that make sense? To have this pipe dream that, you know, we're going to make Livonia great again, or whatever people say in life, you know, it's a fairy tale, but you can make things peaceable and have the blessings of God. So I don't want to go into more to that. So the women had their children resurrected. Let's go there to 1 Kings 17 through 24. And I got about another 5 minutes. So can you hang in there? And I don't think I'm finishing. Unless we do a lightning round. No, I'm not going to do that. That's too much. Okay. So the women had their children resurrected. 1 Kings 17. Let's go 17 through 24. And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? So she was thinking curse came upon her son because he was a prophet. Right? But that wasn't the deal. Next verse. And he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him down in his own bed. Please, again, use your imagination. The child is dead. And this prophet, this man of God, is picking up a dead body. I remember when Smith Wigglesworth, his wife died, that he literally picked her up. And this is documented. You can believe it if you want to or not. But he picked her up, put her against the wall, and called her life back into her body. And she did come back to life. And she said, what are you doing? Let me go. And I guess they had a little bit of conversation, and she went to heaven. She died. True story. But watch it. See, we'll believe it here in the Word, but we won't believe it can happen for you. Nobody said amen, but it's true. And he laid him upon his own bed. Next verse. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also wrought evil upon the widow whom I have sojourned by slaying her son? So even the prophet was confused a bit. And he stretched himself upon the child 3 times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again. And he what? Revived. He revived. How? Because the man of God used his faith, and he spoke faith. He said, Father, you know, God, let him come back to life. Give him his breath. He spoke faith into death. So what does that mean for you? What's the faith application for you and I? Well, if we're facing death, if we're facing life in general, that's full of death, it's full of sorrow, there's so many bad things happening, we speak life and say, Lord, let it be revived. Well, my child's too far gone. No, let there be life. My family's too far gone. There's too much generational curses. There's too much happening in my life. No, speak life to it. And this is why the illustration was given to us. This widow woman had her son brought back to life. Is that right? Next verse. And Elijah took the child and brought him down out of the chamber into the house and delivered him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, thy son lives. That's pretty wild, isn't it? Next verse. And the woman said unto Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God. Really? Really? Thanks. All thy stuff I did, I blessed your house. Your son dies, you blame it on me and God, and then I raise him from the dead through God's help, and then I'm a man of God. Okay, whatever. There's a lot to preach on that about being a pastor. But anyways, that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth is what? Truth. Truth. Faith application today is when we start raising people from the dead. Now, I'm going to say that in two ways. Supernaturally, meaning, bringing things back to life that are dead, wayward children, what have you, can go on down the list. But also in the natural, we're going to see the dead raised. We are going to see the dead raised. We will raise the dead. We have the power now to raise the dead. It's just all about when God wants you to do it and wants us to do it. Now, I'm not telling you to go down to the local funeral home and do that unless the Lord moves on you. See, this is faith we haven't talked about in a long time in the church. It's been subdued. All that was back there with Wigglesworth and A. Allen and Jack Coe and all the other great healing revivalists and Catherine Kuhlman, and that was Jesus' time and Peter and Paul's time, but it can't happen for us. That's a lie. I know of people in modern days who have raised the dead. I've been a part of praying for people and hearing great reports of recovery. God's still doing it. He hasn't changed. The church has changed, okay? Our faith has become dull. And what's incredible is, this is hypocritical to me. We can believe God to pay our light bills, but we can't believe him to heal somebody of cancer or something else. See how low we think of faith and we think of God? But this faith teaching is going to bring us to another level. You can raise the dead. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. I believe that with all of my heart. How does God want to perform that? I don't know. Like I say, if you want to go down to wherever, just don't tell them you go to Ignited. Unless you raise them, then tell them you go to Ignited. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And there's so many stories I could bring out of people who have raised the dead. I've met people who have actually been a part of raising somebody from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's go to 2 Kings chapter 4. 18, and I'll tell you when to stop, and then we're going to stop for tonight. Is that okay? Can you give me just that few more minutes? But I hope sometime the Lord lets me teach on the God's generals and the great healing revivalists and tell you some stories that are absolutely amazing, and even some modern stories, like with Reinhard Bonnke and the raise from the dead. We have the video somewhere, and on and on and on it goes. I could probably talk to Oscar, and he knows of situations over there in Africa. In fact, I think we had talked about something in the past, and if so, we can bring that out. All right, is that cool? 2 Kings 4:18. Let's go for just a few minutes here. And the woman said to Elijah, let's go there. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. So this child was working. Isn't that good? That's a miracle number one. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mom. Yeah. Where do you take the sick child? Mom. Who's the healer in the house? Mom. Who's the guy working? Dad, right? And when he had taken him, he brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Wow. Wow. That's a lot right there. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. Here you go, Pastor. Thanks. Thought you brought an offering. And she called her unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. So remember, they had a little place for the man of God. Is that right? And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? Is it neither new moon nor Sabbath? And she said, it shall be well. So she didn't give the whole deal. Then she saddled an ass and said to her husband, drive. That means get on out there, boy. and go forward and slack not the riding from me, except I bid thee. All right, so she's saying, ride on. And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite woman. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with thy child? And she answered, it is well. Notice this. Man, I got to go. Is it well? Yeah, everything's fine. Why? Because she knew by faith she was going to get her son raised from the dead. She knew the man of God knew God. She knew the word of faith. She knew truth. And she wasn't going to allow death to rob her. She wasn't going to allow the negativity of the situation that was obvious, because she believed by faith she was going to have what she wanted. I'm going to have to stop right there, guys, because I'm going to run over, and then you won't get your beauty sleep, and then you're going to be grumpy tomorrow, and then you may slay 800 people with a... I don't know. I'll say pocket knife, but I was going to say a compact mirror. That'd be better for girls. Since you walk, slip, get out of my face. Anyways, we'll get back to this next Wednesday. I look forward to Sunday morning with you guys. Again, pray for those in the midst of all these storms and things, including us tomorrow. I love everybody, and I bless you. Father, thank you for this opportunity to learn about faith. I'm so glad we don't have to go out there and fight real people. But we fight against enemies, the devil. We fight against spirits. We fight against strongholds. According to your word, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But thank you for helping us wield the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, that we be victorious and set our friends and family free. In Jesus' name, amen. I love everybody. Be blessed.